Find the shooters.
Aaron Baines with a straightaway three. Good to see that from Aaron.
And that's fueled an 18-6 run. Until that shot by the big man, Baines, has some of that three-point ability. 29-25.
How you going? That's right, it's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, February 25, and I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, sometimes, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Arm Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Strayer. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. We don't take shit too seriously either, in a surprise twist. We'll leave that to the nerds. Been on a bit of a serious note. We had Kobe and Gianna's memorial, I guess. Yeah, it's not really a funeral, I guess, but it's a big memorial at Staples Center with some Michael Jordan, Shaq, just heartbreaking stuff. And in today's games, we had some big upsets, some big scoring from Brad Beal, Embiid coming up big, a lot of big stuff. Some big blowouts too, so a lot of big, mate. We've got all that covered in the game wraps, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That's not an IFL, mate, no, mate. Spud of the night, pants in the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. And, of course, there's Yeah Nas, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. With a bit of an addition to the Australian Player Watch with Ozzie Matisse. He's back again, which is good, because it's Tuesday. We've got the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot, Line Him Up Award. Pretty easy one this week. Last 2 days have given us that. As well as a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow, brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your sweet NBA odds and gambling needs. Love it. All right, we're going to close out with the Jingles HR for you as well, which is awesome. It's a good one from Gar in Chicago. Nice. All right. So let's bloody well get to it. It's NBA Australia episode 415. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better. The Shaq attack is making you cry. Jesus. Yep, anyway, we're going to start today's show with the daily whip around. There we go, nice one. Yep. Tough scenes. It's the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily whip around. But still, tough scenes with the Kobe and Gianna Bryant Memorial. MJ, Michael Jordan giving a touching speech about him being his little brother. Vanessa was amazing, Kobe's wife, Gianna's mum. Her stories were also very Kobe, which was very funny. There was a rose for every point that Kobe scored in his NBA career around the center stage at Staples. That was pretty cool. And yeah, this, like, watching parts of it, a bunch of it, it fucking hurts. It sucks. Just really fucking sad. Shaq was awesome. And tear-jerking, you know, telling the story about Kobe. There's no I in team. Kobe's like, yeah, but there's an M and an E in that motherfucker. It's like, yep, that's true. That's very Kobe. Vanessa said that God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Fuck, that's tough scenes, man. Absolutely brutal. And MJ just going out there saying basically that Kobe was like his little brother and how much it hurt, and he didn't give a shit that Kobe got him. And it's like, you know, he's crying, and they're going to have a crying Jordan meme for another 4 years. And look, didn't matter. MJ, in that raw honesty, really sort of showed why he is the fucking GOAT. Atlanta wait to it all, just to have MJ out there just fucking beside himself, you know? And it was really tough to watch, but amazing as well. If you're a Kobe fan, if you're a basketball fan, this one hits right in the heart. So, veil Kobe, veil Gianna. And yeah, so anyway, look, other news, I guess, with that was like, you know, the big sort of basketball feeling kind of episode today. And you had Harden and Westbrook and PJ Tucker actually at the Memorial before flying back for their game against the Knicks tonight, which is pretty crazy. But yeah. So in other news, Indiana Pacer Jeremy Sleepy Eyes Lamb. Oh, Sleepy Eyes. This sucks. He's out. It's torn ACL, torn meniscus, fracture in his left knee. And in actual true Kobe fashion, went out there and hit his free throws after suffering the injury yesterday. What a fucking badass. Obviously, you remember Kobe doing it on his busted Achilles. Old Sleepy Eyes went out there. Could barely fucking walk. Away went. We do have a lot of Aussie news today, however. Jonah, son of Bruce Bolden, did not get a second 10-day contract with the Phoenix Suns, proving once and for all that the Phoenix Suns are a fucking laughingstock and a bunch of cowards. They can go fuck themselves. Jonah was amazing one game when he was asked where they had no bigs, played 26 minutes. Basically flew in, chucked a fucking jersey on, kicked some ass, took some names. Got a total of 6 minutes in another two games and that was it. How about you go fuck yourself, Suns? No wonder everybody fucking hates you as an organization. Dante Exum hurt his ankle in pretty brutal fashion today. And this fucking stinks. Dante just can't catch a break, mate. He's just sort of walking along, trailing the play, gets in there for a rebound, sort of gets a bit of a shove and kind of goes over on his ankle. And the footage is fucking tough to watch, man. It's a sharp twist. But hopefully it's just a sprain and hopefully he comes back post-haste. But I mean, it's Dante. You never know with this sort of stuff. And he really just can't go like fucking 3 weeks without getting hurt. Tough scenes. But also, Big Simo, Ben Simmons is out indefinitely. And even Woj seems a bit confused about this. Tweeted out. He's like, yeah, look, it's not day-to-day. It's indefinite. You're going to know more, maybe. At some point, Brett Brown's like, I don't fucking know either. And Woj is like, look, in the big piece about it, it's like kind of breaking down the idea that there should be at least a bit of coherent ideas as to what the fuck is going on as of tomorrow. So he's hoping we do. All right, let's do some game wraps for today. We'll fly through all these. It was an awesome day. Some really good games. A couple of OT, massive come from behind wins, some absolute shittings of the bed, and then some absolute fucking blowouts. So boil over in Utah. But anyway, Atlanta went into Philly and put a fucking scare into the Philadelphia 1-2-3-4-5-6s. Philly ended up winning 129-112. Oh, Jimmy, that sounds massive. Yeah. It wasn't fucking like that, mate. Philly were getting booed by their own fans again because they trailed at three-quarter time. What? Yeah, they did. They're up 17 at the half. 17 shit the bed in the third quarter. Go into the fourth quarter down one. Luckily, they have the self-proclaimed best player in the world on their team, and Joel Embiid did wake up and kick some ass and took some fucking names in that fourth quarter and dominated. Yeah, it was weird. Philly just was like, oh, we've won this. And it's like, mate, it's only halfway through the game. You have to keep on playing to win it. They're like, oh, do we? So, oh, I guess we better play in the fourth. And that's exactly what happened. Embiid was incredible. But anyway, for the Hawks, Trae Young, 28 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Wasn't really on today. Hit like a fucking three from the Philly logo, basically, but was also only 2 of 11 from downtown. 10 of 22 overall. John Collins, that's a total cocktail, out of 21 and 9. DeAndre Hunter had 22 and 7. But Kevin Huerta, he stunk. 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting, and not enough really from the rest of the Atlanta sort of young dudes. Reddish was not very good, and yeah, tough scenes all around in Atlanta, I guess. For the Sixers, though, look, every starter had a block. Horford's back in the starting lineup, just continuing this weird trajectory of like, you're coming off the bench. Now that Simo's out, you're starting. Who fucking knows? Let's see if this works. I don't know. Do you really trust Brett Brown? Fuck, I don't know, man. But anyway, look, they get the win because Embiid goes off. 49 points, absolutely amazing. Career high. Hit 1-3, and that was the one late that brought up the career high. Awesome. 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Incredible. Talk about it again. Him in a second. Tobias Harris had 25. Horford had a 7-8-5 as a starter. Just got to unlock that guy and just do something better with him, right? Josh Richardson, 4 of 12 for 13 points and 15 for fucking Furkan Korkmaz off the bench. Atlanta dropped the 17 and 42. Philly, 36 and 22 with a home record of 27 and 2 now. Absolutely amazing. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land, went into Washington and it was almost not the good land for a while there. They win it in overtime. The best team in the NBA against one of the most fucking Jekyll and Hyde right there. 137-134 in overtime. Brad Beal drops 55. Giannis fouls out in the fourth quarter. Luckily, Chris O'Middy Middleton drops 45 and 5. That's 40 points, 5 rebounds and 5 assists, and had 9 points in the overtime to bring Milwaukee home. Turns out DC is the good land if you're Milwaukee. Pretty crazy, though. Beal, with the 55, did have a chance in regulation to hit a go-ahead. Passed up to a wide-open Rui Hachimura, who then bricked the shot. So, tough scenes. Beal had 55, though. We're going to talk about him later as well in the Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Your Shot Light Him Up Award, because, boy, is that guy going fucking bananas in the last day, last 24 hours. 53 and 55, back-to-back. Insane. 19 of 33 today, 8 of 13 from downtown. Absolutely insane. Shabazz Napier was the best next best wizard. 27 and 7 off the bench. Rui, as mentioned, 4 of 12 for 12 points. The Bucks, they shot 57% and 17 of 37 from downtown. So how were Washington in this? 21 turnovers from the Bucks. Tough scenes. 8 turnovers from Giannis. Jesus, he had 22, 14 and 2 before he fouled out. As mentioned, Middy had the 45 and 5 on 15 to 28 shooting. Good stuff. Bledsoe put on a bled show with 23 points, 10 assists, and 7 boards as well. Good stuff. Bucks. Look, this is one of those ones. I mentioned this yesterday. Will they win 70 games? This is one where they shit the bed out of nowhere. Giannis fouls out. You take a loss and you go, look, we turned the ball over too many times. We lost in overtime. Tough scenes. What are you going to do? But they won it. So they're now 49 and 8. Whew. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Wizards are 20 and 36 and slipping ever further behind Orlando for the last playoff spot. Yeah. Speaking of which, Orlando beat Brooklyn. 115-113 in Brooklyn. I nailed this call yesterday. Talking about how Vooch and Azza Air Gordon would probably dominate Brooklyn just because they don't have enough big dudes and big bodies to sort of throw at those guys. And that's exactly what happened in the third and fourth quarter. Orlando was shit. Scored 41 in the first half. Brooklyn were cruising. Absolutely smashing. They're up for 18 in the third quarter. Brooklyn then gave up a 40-point quarter in the rest of the third quarter. 11 lead changes down there in the fourth quarter. A 19-point lead that they eventually had turns into a 2-point fucking deficit with 44 seconds left. They get a stop. They get a Taurean Prince in the next one. And you're like, here we go. Taurean Prince misses the go-ahead three. 8.8 seconds left. Game over. Actually, no, they get a fucking turnover on the inbounds. 8.8 seconds left. They've got a chance to win the game. They play hot potato with the ball. Taurean, the Red Bull Prince, gets it again and also misses again. Another fadeaway three-pointer. Time expires. Nets lose. They were 2.5 games ahead of the Magic for the 7th seed. Now they're up 1.5. But it doesn't really matter. 7-8 seed in the East. Like, you're going to get steamrolled by the Bucks or you're going to get steamrolled by the Raptors. So whatever, but still. Nets, absolute shitting in the bed. 115-113, they lose. Horrifying scenes in Brooklyn. 24 points, 8 assists for Spencer. Dinwiddie, Carrots, my sweet baby Carrots. LeVert had 19 points on 21 shots. Brutal. 8 of 21, tough scenes. 16-11 for Go the Fro Allen. Garrett Temple was really awesome early on. He hit 4 threes, he had 18 points. And Taurean the Red Bull Prince, look. He went 3 of 10, and definitely the guy who should be taking the last two shots of the game. You fucking idiots, Nets. What are you doing? The Magic, Air Gordon, had 27 and 10 with 4 steals. Vooch had 16, 10 and 5. Told you they'd dominate, and that's exactly what happened. Fournier and T-Rolls both had 21s. Brooklyn at 26 and 30. Obviously, 1.5 games ahead of the Magic, who were 25 and 32. Speaking of shitting the bed, Miami. Woo! The Heaters. They shit the bed in Cleveland. Oh, that's right. Stephen A. Smith, Cleveland. Yeah, tough scenes. Tough scenes. No buts for Miami. He was out for personal reasons. I assume he was at the Kobe Memorial. But wow, what a crapping of the bed by Miami. 31-12, fourth quarter. That's right. The Cavs dropped 31 and let Miami score 12 in the fourth quarter. It goes to overtime. And this, don't forget, was the first overtime loss of the season for the Heat. They were 8-0 until this one. Just an absolutely insane come-from-behind win. Just think about this. Yo, fucking Heaters. 31-12 in the fourth quarter. They're up 19. And they lose. It was a 43-19 run from the start of the fourth quarter through the overtime by the Cavs. Absolutely amazing. Fired up by Kevin Porter Jr. I'm going to talk about him at length later. Jesus. But still, amazing stuff. Seven players in double figures for the Cavs too. Bam Adebayo for the Heat had 22, 13, and 9. Three steals and four blocks. Insane numbers from Bam. Kendrick Lamar, none, had 21 and 4. Duncan Robinson went 5 of 11 from downtown for his 15. And Dragon had 22 points and 6 assists. But it was the Cavs, man. Kevin Porter Jr., absolute weapon. 30 points. We're going to talk about him in a second. 17 and 14 for Kevin Love. 13s for Andre Drummond and the Sex Man, Colin Sexton. 15 and 9 for Tristan Thompson. 16 and 8 for Larry Nance Jr. Wow! The Cavs are incredible. That's hilarious. And obviously, they still lost Dante Exum, so... Tough scenes, man. Anyway, Miami 36 and 21 now. They've lost 5 of the last 7, including 3 to teams that are under 500, and then this one against the Cavs. Like, that is fucking crazy. So it's like this combination of who's trying their hardest to shit the bed in this season, Miami or Philly? And, neck and neck at the moment. Anyway, Cavs are now 16 and 41. The New York City Knickerbockers lost in Houston 112-123. No Rusty for Houston, even after he flew back from the Memorial. Set out with a sore thumb. Harden and Page played. Look, Rockets busted that ass in the second quarter and just cruised the win. Harden had 31 in the first half. They led by 15 at the half, never led by less than 8 in the second half. The Knicks, RJ Barrett at 21-6-3 to go with 5-10 over. 17-12 for Hoodius Randall. Kevin Knoxie Knox. Oh, the New York City Knickerbockers should be, like, you know, playing the young dudes, right? Yeah, 12 minutes, 1 of 6. Awesome. Dennis Smith Jr. at least was awesome. He had 15 points and 5 of 12 shooting, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 7 steals. Unreal. The Rockets, Harden had 37, 6, and 9. Pretty bloody good game for him. Even though, you know, 31 in the first half. Didn't have to do much. They were fine. 16 on 4 of 13 shooting for Eric Gordon. He was back. That's good. Thrift Shop. Ben McLemore had 17 points as well. Good on him. The Knickerbockers are now 17 and 40. Houston, 37 and 20. Minnesota lost in Dallas, 139-123. Another ass busting. Dallas scored 81 in the first half. Kobe, not bad. Minnesota's defense, giving up 81 and a half. Classic. They got it down to an 8-point lead in the third quarter, but Dallas just gave them the old Tim Hardaway the lesser, and bang, away they went. Closest they got in the fourth was 12 points. And this was a bit of a laugher, you know. D'Lo took his birthday off the day before. Zinger, the extreme Zinger meal, and Luka Doncic were back as well. So Dallas cruised to it. Wolves, look, post-birthday, D'Angelo Russell, 29 points, 10 of 20 shooting, 5 assists, good on him. 21 points for Malik Beasley, 19 for Bloodsport James Johnson, and fuck all else from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Tough sledding without Karl Anthony Towns, isn't it? But that's all right, get your draft pick, keep your high draft pick, and away you go. The Mavs, 29-7. For Luka Doncic, Hardaway the lesser had 23 points at 8 of 14 shooting. Nice. 15 and 9 for the extreme Zinger meal. And the shit Curry had 19 as well. He went 5 and 9 from downtown. Good stuff. Minnesota are now 16 and 40. Staring down the barrel of basically a top 3 position in the lottery. And 35 and 23 for the Dallas Mavericks. Phoenix beat, not only beat Utah, but fucking kicked the shit out of Utah in the second half of this game. 131-111. They win by 20. This was tied at the half, and then Utah just completely just fell apart. Got absolute straight killed. 69-49 in the second half. Absolutely crazy. Never looked that cohesive or on the same page at all. You had Rudy Gobert fucking losing his mind at Donovan Mitchell for looking him off when he had a switch. I mean, Jesus. They had 19 turnovers, the Yaz. It's a soft J. Donovan Mitchell was the only one who could get anything going. 38 points, 11-19 shooting, 6 of 9. Nice from downtown. Mike Conley. 8 points, 0 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. Gross! 13-8 for Rudy Gobert, the stuff with Tower, and not much else. Bojan had 16, 14 from Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, and Utah, just rubbish. Suns, Devin Booker, 24 points, 10 assists. Ricky Tiki Tata, a bit of a revenge game for Ricky Rupi. Oh, 22 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds, and 7 steals. He was awesome. Really like fucking giving it to the Yaz too, did Ricky Tiki Tata. 18 for Kelly Oubre Jr., who also dunked Rudy Gobert all the way back to fucking Nance. Love that. 16 points and 8 of 9 shooting for Ayton as well. And the homie, Dario Saric, didn't miss in this game. 5 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 2 from downtown, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Unreal for 14 points. Utah have now lost 3 straight at home since the All-Star break. What the fuck's going on, the Yaz? Got to get that hard J, not the soft J. 36 and 21. If they hadn't lost those 3 straight, they'd be fighting neck and neck with the Clips and the Rockets for the 3 seed. Instead, they're fucking way back in the 5 spot. Tough. Anyway, Phoenix are 24-34, still five games back of the Memphis Grizzlies, fighting for the 8th spot in the West. All right, and finally, Memphis did get absolutely fucking killed by the Clippers today, 124-97. Paul George, Pat Bev are back. I think this is the 5th time all season the Clippers have had an entirely healthy roster. So there you go. This was also an absolute laugher from the get-go. 40 to 14 in the first quarter, and it did not get better, son. The Grizz, look, they looked amazing in their throwback unis, but they got fucking just shit-pumped. They really did. Ja had 16 points and nothing else. 1 assist, 2 turnovers. Dylan Brooks, 1 of 7 for 4 points. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, 2 of 10. This is the game where my name is Jonas just goes out and goes, who's guarding me? Avicii Zubac, Montrezl Harrell. All right, cool. I'm going to have 30 and 20. No, did not happen. 5 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a minus 26. The Clips, their bench had 67 points. Kawhi, hey, hey, hey. 25 points, 8 rebounds. Paul George had 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting. Gross. In his return. And Montrez had 9 of 11 shooting for 22 points. Good stuff. Clips, they moved to 38-19 in 3rd spot in the West. And the Memphis Grizzlies, 28-29, keeps on slipping away. All right, but let's do some NBA Stereo Proof performances of the night, shall we? There's only one.
That's not a night. That's a night.
Joel Embiid, that is a fucking 49 points, and I kind of called this yesterday, didn't I? Going up against Atlanta, not having really the big enough bodies to throw at Joel Embiid, and I predicted like 40 and 20. 49 and 14 is pretty close, I'll take that. What a game though, like a 19-point fourth quarter where they were down to start it, and everyone's shitting the bed, everyone's looking around going, fuck, what have we done? We're going to lose to Atlanta at home, this is bullshit, and Joel Embiid's like, I'll just score a bunch. 17 of 24 he goes, 1 of 3 from downtown. As mentioned, he hit that 3 late to give him the 49 career high. Absolutely incredible. 14 of 15 from the free throw line. 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Millie rocked after the game and also said fuck it on live TV. What a legend. Easily the NBA Australia approved performance of the night for Joel Embiid. He was incredible. Who's old mate? No mates though.
Old mate, no mates.
Aw, Brad Beal. Aw. How do you lose these two games? He scores 53 yesterday, 55 today. Tough scenes, man. Fourth player in NBA history to have 50 points in a loss in consecutive games. Wilt, Harden, and Devin Booker are the other ones. Beal's the first one to do it in back-to-back days. I mean, he scored 53 and then 55 and they lost both. Oh, poor fucking Bradley. I mean, what's a bloke got to do, you know? Like at that point, you just could be like, that's it. I'm going to fake a fucking hammy injury and just sit out the rest of this season because this is fucked. I've already got my money. I've got my big contract. I've put in enough fucking effort. I might get traded now during this offseason, so let's fucking do it. Away we go. Like, they went hammer and tongs at the Bucks and nearly won it. Giannis fouls out, but still, the rest of the blokes on the Wizards couldn't fucking do anything really to help him. Like, when Shabazz Napier is the next best player on your team, you've got big fucking problems, pal. Really. I mean, Isaac Bonga, Ian Mahinmi, Ish Smith, Rui, he's a rookie. Rui played 46 minutes today, went 4 of 12 for his 12 points. And it's like, all right, cool, man. And Shabazz Napier. 36 minutes, 27 points, 7 assists, as mentioned earlier. He's just out there, though, basically by himself, poor Brad Beal. I did see someone, like, comparing to Mitch Richmond, and it's a good sort of comparison because he's, like, you know, similar-ish kind of size, similar-ish kind of game. But Beal's way better than Mitch Richmond ever was, I think, in his pomp. So, yeah, tough scenes for Beal. We'll talk about him again later in the Shooter Shoot section. Spud of the night!
Spud of the night.
I mentioned my name is Jonas Valanciunas. 2 of 10 shooting, 5 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a minus 26 against the Clippers today. Look, the Clippers are a fucking juggernaut when they're all healthy and all playing sometimes. But, I mean, Ivica Zubac, Tupats, Trez Harrell. Like, those are the dudes who you've got to go out there and dominate Jonas Valanciunas, and you did not. Christ. 0-2 from downtown as well. I mentioned Kevy Knox, 1-6 in 12 minutes. Dylan Brooks, 1-7 in his 25 minutes. 0-3 from downtown. 2 turnovers, 5 assists. But really, Spuds in the night are just all of the Nets and all of the Heat in their respective fourth quarters, and also just touring the Red Bull Prince, because I don't know how he ends up taking your two potential game-winning shots, but Nets, what are you doing? So really, maybe the Spud of the night is actually Kenny Atkinson and almost Brett Brown for almost shitting the bed in that Atlanta game. Panting of the night, I mean Brooklyn, come on, and the Heat. I mentioned the Heat got outscored 31-12 in the fourth quarter by the Cavs. That's right, by Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Absolutely amazing. They're up 19 and they lose. 43-19 run from the fourth quarter through overtime. Absolutely incredible. I'm going to talk about the Heat again in a little bit, but wow. Panting of the night. Otherwise, Dennis Smith Jr. got dropped by James Harden, but I mentioned this a little bit earlier as well. Kelly Oubre Jr. dunked Rudy Gobert all the way back to the French Alps. Absolutely fucking yammed on him and gave him the old massive flex afterwards. That was fucking awesome. So good stuff, Kelly. Even if that's a girl's name, you got Rudy. Nice one. Stifle that, Rudy. Better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody if you're Kevin Porter Jr. Holy shit. I just, you know, ragged on the Heat for basically losing to a horrible Cavs team. The reason why they lost is Kevin Porter Jr., KPJ. I mean, you've got LBJ from Cleveland. That's right, Cleveland.
Cleveland!
You've got OBJ from Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Now you got KPJ in Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Love it. Career high, 30 points for the rookie, 8 rebounds. Absolute fucking weapon he was. The craziest part was he goes 9 of 18. Awesome shooting. 4 of 7 from downtown. Out, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, a plus 22 in the game against the fucking Heat. A legitimate playoff team. The craziest part was the Cavs were running plays for him down the stretch. He's a rookie. This is insane because Kevin Porter Jr. might actually be the best young dude on the Cavs now. Like, fuck Colin Sexton. Fuck Darius Garland. Love them both, but I love KPG way more. Like, give me that KPJ. KPJ all the fucking way. And today, he was better than Lonzo Ball. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Time for yeah nahs. Take a bunch of NBA storylines to decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Jimmy, did you finally get over your hangover? Yeah, nah, yeah, finally. It's like the clincher, like, I don't know what your hangover cures are, but I always forget, like, one of the things you've just got to fucking do, like, and my buddy Al, who some of you might know is the rapper Illy, one of what we were talking about, like, you know, good hangover cures, his was always to, like, just fucking, like, turn off the lights and sit down in the shower and just, like, hang the fuck out. I'm like, that's pretty good. I remember getting absolutely fucking rat shit hammered when I was in Atlanta year before, and, you know, big fucking night, hanging out, just absolutely ruined the next day. And, like, actually, yeah, just sitting in, like, the hotel shower in the dark going, fuck, Illy's onto something here. This is good. But, yeah, yesterday I'm just like, you know, I do this show, just a bit scattered, just fucking horrifyingly sort of dehydrated still. It doesn't matter how much water you drink. Just the showers, man. Just going to make sure you're on top of that. I don't know. Anyone else got any good hangover cures? Because now I'm getting fucking old, man. Like, this is, like, old guy fucking territory. Play cricket, fucking pub cricket on Sunday. All my fucking shoulders are ruined. Everything hurts. Too many tins afterwards because we get the win. Anyway, let's do some yeah nahs. this one's from Iron Medi S on Twitter. Hey, Jimmy, yeah nah, should the Sixers fuck off Joel and play Houston style small ball with Big Simo and the Russ roll? Yeah nah, look, this was great because this one came in like halfway through that Atlanta game. And then after the third quarter, it's like, well, I mean, they've just given up a 17-point lead to Atlanta. They're down after one quarter. Maybe they should, but then, you know, Embiid comes fucking back. And look, I actually wrote this while that was all happening, and I tend to think, yeah, like they probably could fuck off Embiid and go Houston style, but by the same token, I kind of think it's way more important to make two insane fucking talents just work, you know? Like, whether that's with a new coach, new system, whatever, I still tend to think that there's space for Embiid and Simo to work, especially in the playoffs, when you're going to need both defensively and defensively, right? Like, I reckon if you hand it all over to Simo, you've got a Houston scenario where you might have an amazing, amazing, amazing regular season team and then hits a fucking second round brick wall in the playoffs or, you know, whatever every year because you don't have anything to go over the top. Embiid is that talented that he can negate that a little bit maybe, you know? Let's go, all right, Joel, can you fucking save us? And he goes, bang, you know? So I feel like you try to make both of them work for as long as possible. Speaking of not working, though, are Utah fucked? Yeah, nah, look, nah, they're not fucked, but Jesus. That look off by Donovan Mitchell on a switch where Rudy Gobert is, like, under the basket with a bloke who's, like, a foot and a half fucking shorter than him. That is just bad scenes. They're not defending well at all of a sudden. Three games at home that they lose. And, I mean, it's all against pretty, you know, at least halfway decent teams. I mean, today was Phoenix and like they're up and down, but they did lose the previous two games to the Spurs and the Rockets. But they gave up 120 to the Rockets, 113 to the Spurs, who couldn't fucking score if you paid them to. And then again, 131 to the Suns today. So I don't know, man. They got to really fix that defense. And I don't know, Conley. Weird scenes. Another one from PDX Pete. Congrats to PDX Pete. Hopefully he's getting some sleep with the new PDX squid up there in Oregon. On your PDX Pete. Congrats on the sex. Also, your kid's ginger sucked in. He's going to be a legend. PDX Pete, is Beal gone after this season, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I kind of think, like, if it was a smart franchise, then yeah, but because it's Washington and they've still got Brad Beal and John Wall on the team, they'll give it next year with Wall hopefully back a shot, right? Just see how it goes. And then if it sucks, then you can trade the guy at the trade deadline or in the following offseason because you've already got his contract done and dusted. The extension's there. People are going to know how much he gets paid, whatever. Yeah, you've got three bites of the cherry. This offseason, next trade deadline, offseason after that. But because it's Washington, I think they just want to roll the ball out there, see how Wall and Beal go together. It is fucking crazy though, right? Like if Wall and Beal just, it doesn't work and Wall's just a shell of himself, like you might have to blow it up. And this is the crazy part as well. Having Beal drop 50 in losses is just like, it's awesome for tanking, but it also really drives a wedge, I think, between like a player and a team, right? And a franchise. Like he's sitting there going, man, I'm fucking doing my part. What the fuck are you idiots doing? Who is my next best fucking teammate here? It's not like, you know, aside from John Wall, we've got all these other injuries. They let Otto Porter walk. Jabari Parker's gone. Like, they've got Rui Hachimura. Like, Kelly Oubre Jr.'s cutting it up for the Suns. Like, what the fuck? Beal's just going to be like, dude, this fucking place sucks. Anyway. And final, yeah, nah, did Iguodala fuck up the Heat? Yeah, nah, yeah, I fucking told you this entire move was overrated. The Heat are 2-6 since they got Iguodala. Oh, but he'll fix everything. I think they might be the favorites now. Fuck you. They're going to teach them in business school, man. Oh, yeah? They're going to teach 2-6 in business school, are they, Andre? Anyway. I still love my Miami hat, though. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
It was the only thing that, you know, after MJ's amazing speech at Kobe's memorial, people were like, oh, crying Jordan again. I really hope we just don't get more crying Jordan memes out of this speech, right? Like, it's fine to roast MJ for his Hall of Fame acceptance speech when he's like out there crying and he also torched dudes he played against because it's like kind of funny. It's like, you know, the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. And he's out there dropping shit on his opponents. It's amazing. Whereas this was just him being open and honest and raw. And I don't want to fucking see a bloke who's crying because it's honestly how he feels and how we all fucking feel about Kobe. You know, I don't want to have to see that a million fucking times in the next 5 years. I mean, it's rough every time you get reminded of, like, you know, the fact that Kobe's gone. Every fucking time you're like, oh, fuck, Jesus, dude. Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's go to Outback Takeouse on that note. Jesus. Tough seconds. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means. Oh, yep, we're going to have to put a couple of jobs up on seek.com.au because, well, we've just lost 26 of our staff bringing down this fucking cassowary. But, tell you what, today's special of cassowary casserole is fucking delicious, and it's only at Outback. It goes great as a flame-grilled take, and today's flame-grilled take at Outback Takeouse is the Utah Jazz should buy out Mike Conley. Only at Outback. Jesus. Just buy him out, you reckon? It's like, yep, all right. See ya. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming. But yeah, we're just going to be better off without you, pal. Ugh. All right, Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, this one.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch. I mentioned Big Simo Ben Simmons obviously did not play against Atlanta today as they're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with his back. Ozzie Mathis played, though. Mathis Thybulle went over Atlanta, played 11 minutes. 0 points, however. 0 of 1 from the floor, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 2 steals. He's a defensive menace, I'll tell you that much. Also had 4 fouls, though. Tough. Jingling Joe Ingles in the loss to Phoenix and Bangers. Jingles chucked in 9 points, 4 assists, 0 rebounds, and 4 turnovers. It was a minus 17. Went 2 of 7 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3. Yeah, not a great game from Jingles. I mentioned Dante Exum hurting his ankle. Wasn't doing too badly until right then too either. 6 minutes, 0 points, 1 rebound, 2 blocks though. And was 0 of 1 from 3. But tough, tough scenes with the ankle. Really hope that Dante is fine because that looked fucked. And I really, really, really hope that he is fine for the rest of this season for the Cavs and obviously, you know, can go out there and kick some ass, take some names and keep going. Because it hurts when he's not out there, man. King Daly of Maribor in Canada, first of his name, smasher of tins in that win over Miami. 3 minutes, 0 points, 1 assist. Classic. And Aaron Bangers Baines, final Aussie for today. Win over Utah, hit his 69th career 3. Amazing. Played 16 minutes. Nice. 9 points, 4 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 2 from downtown, 8 rebounds and 1 assist. So 9 and 8 and 1 for Bangers. And obviously, you'd be like, oh, Phoenix played. Did Jonah Bolden play? And it's like, nah, well, he got released. So they didn't offer him a second 10-day contract. So off into the other goes Jonah Bolden joining Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. Hopefully they get another run this year. Because if they don't, it's going to hurt my heart. Yeah. All right. Shit, that's it. So that's the end of the Australian Player Watch. Getting shorter by the fucking day. Jesus. All right. But anyway, it is Tuesday. So what are we doing Tuesdays? This will be the old Shane Heal shoot a shoot, shoot your shot, light him up award, isn't it?
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Brad Beal. Brad Beal, Shane Heal. It just makes fucking sense. Brad Beal chucked in a Shane Heal-esque 53 yesterday and then 55 today. Absolutely amazing games. Lost both of them. He is the first player since Kobe in 2007 to have back-to-back 50-point games in back-to-back days. Kobe scored 60 against Memphis and then 50 against the Pelicans on March 22 and 23 in 07, which were the last two games in his four-game streak of scoring 50 or more. Pretty incredible. Someone told Brad Beal about that and he said, ah, I didn't know that. Fuck. That's who Kobe was. That was his driving scent in the ceremony today. Brought back the feeling, the tears all back again. So, yeah, tough. Anyway, he also joins Harden and Wilt as the only player to score 53 in back-to-back games. Joins Harden, Wilt, and Booker as the only player to lose those two games where he scored over 50. And only player to lose both games in back-to-back nights. So, tough. But look, a career-high 53 points in a loss versus the Bulls. He follows it up with a new career high of 55 on 19 of 33 shooting, 8 of 13 from 3 against the Bucks today. He's averaging 30 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and shooting 58% with a true shooting percentage for the season, which is absolutely fucking crazy. He's also the first Wizard to score 50 in consecutive games since 97 when they rebranded as the Wiz. Only MJ ever scored 45 points in back-to-back games, so absolutely amazing. Good stuff, Brad Beal. You are the Shane Heal shoot your shot, light him up award winner for this week. Beal, Heal, just makes sense, doesn't it? Just makes sense. All right, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Let's go to Patty Mills Twitter and see if he's got any more awesomely inspiring stuff for us today. Let's go, Patty. What do you reckon? Yep. Oh, that's right. Love this one. We're getting closer. Hashtag Tokyo 2020. Hashtag Tokyo together. 150 days to go. Picture of Tokyo out there. You know, as long as the world isn't devastated by fucking coronavirus, hopefully we actually get to play the Olympics. What do you reckon? Anyway, classic stuff. I love it. Patty Mills just out there. He's trying his hardest to inspire the rest of the boomers and everybody for the Tokyo Olympics this year. So classic Patty Mills inspiration board action. All right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow then.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem.
Okay. All right, we've got a bunch of games tomorrow. A couple of rippers too. We've got Bucks Raptors. First one off the rank, though, is the Hornets at the Pacers. Now, the Pacers have been a bit up and down of late. Hornets are 10.5-point underdogs in Indy. Charlotte just got killed by Brooklyn. And Indy aren't really a team who absolutely fucking flog teams. So I feel like Charlotte might bounce back a little bit in this and lose by about 8 or 9. So I feel like they cover against Indy. Oh, wait. How do we go on our picks today before I get into this? We went out of the 8 games today. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 8. Unreal. Holy shit. That's pretty good. 6 out of 8 for today. So that takes us to 435 of 783 for the year. Good stuff. Awesome. That's pretty good. Right. So anyway, Hornets plus 10.5 points against the Pacers. Yeah, look, Pacers are good. They'll win that. But I feel like the Hornets will just stay close enough. The Bucks at Raptors, awesome game. Can't wait for this. Raptors are 1-point underdogs at home against the league-leading Bucks, who will be on a back-to-back. I think I like the Raptors in that. So give me the Raptors plus 1. I think they win that. Should be an awesome game, though. Bucks, don't forget, they've only lost, what, 7 games all fucking year, so fascinating. Anyway, Thunder at Bulls. Give me the Thunder minus 7. Probably a point or two too high, but I think the Bulls are just in the middle of just completely combusting against good teams, and OKC are good. Detroit at Denver. Nuggets are 12-point favorites. Give me that in a heartbeat. The Pistons are the worst team in the NBA right now. And Denver, look, I feel like against bad teams, they kick the shit out of them. Like, they let them play close sometimes. Detroit is so bad. Denver will not let that happen and will kill them. Boston at Portland. Awesome game as well. If Dame was playing, but he's not. So give him the Celtics minus 5. Another amazing game. Pelicans-Lakers. Love this. Lakers are 8-point favorites at home. I think I'll take that. I think they'll have a bit of a statement win and win this by about 10 or 12. But Zion versus LeBron. It's going to be the first round of the playoffs. Book that. And if the Pelicans can somehow eke out a win here, that'd help a lot. But still, give me the Lakers minus 8. I think they should handily take care of business. And finally, the Kings-Warriors. Kings go into Golden State. 5-point favorites. I think fuck that. Give me the Warriors plus 5. I think they're due for a bit of a weird win. And Sacramento, look, can't trust them as far as you can fucking throw them, mate. So, there you go. All right, so Charlotte plus 10.5. Raptors plus 1. Thunder minus 7. Nuggets minus 12. Celtics minus 5. I love that one the most. Lakers minus 8 over the Pels. And the Warriors plus 5 against the Kings. Nice. And that's it for today. Remember, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia for all your betting needs on the NBA. And actually all your betting needs in general. You know? Support them the way they support us. Go on. All right, we'll back tomorrow with all the usual dumbassery. Should be great. Awesome games tomorrow. I can't wait to talk about those. Can't wait to watch them. So anyway, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Check us rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, whatever app you use on the Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. If you can rate it, if you can review it, it really does fucking help. Fuck all those other podcasts, man. Come on. Got to help us look awesome. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey and Triple J on Earth. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it. So we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR, where he answers a question from Gar and John in Chicago. Should be good. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, where we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Because yep, I'm not just a dead set Aussie legend and the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head. When I'm not sinking threes, talking trash and blowing kisses though, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, with that in mind, we're going to answer some questions and give some advice. So let's go to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Gar and John in Chicago. Dearest Joseph, we have people turning up to things in public demanding that I and my longtime lieutenant here, John, be fired from our jobs. What should I and he do? I mean, we've already hired and fired a bunch of underlings to deflect attention away from our horrible, horrible job running this business, but now I'm all out of ideas, and so is John. Please help. Cheers. Gar and John, Chicago. Oh, geez, g'day, Gar and John. Look, so this is a tough one, isn't it? When people are out there in public campaigning for you to be fired from your job, like, you can't really sit there and go, look, we're meeting all our KPIs that we've got with our boss. It's a tough scene, I'll tell you that much. Like, you can rejigger the organization. You can bring up your KPIs in public if need be, but I'd usually suggest hiring someone new to basically be your fall guy, but it sounds like you've done that a few times already. So, maybe it's, and this pains me to say, but maybe it's time to start scouting out new roles in the organization you're with currently that you might be more suited to, or perhaps maybe even roles elsewhere in different organizations perhaps. Because, you know, sometimes HR is rough. Especially if you're dealing with people who suck at their jobs for 15 plus years. So, all right, there you go. I hope that helps, Gar and John. But otherwise, I reckon you're up shit creek. All right, that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up ya. Yeah.